So let's talk about finding God. I mean, that's kind of a dumb question, right? It's not hard to find God, but I want to just read our verses right off. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart," or your heart. You know, when reading and studying the Bible, you always need to keep the verses in the Bible, the chapters in the Bible, the individual books of the Bible. You need to keep them in context. It's really important to understanding the Word of God. Obviously, the writer, Jeremiah, has a message here. He has a message from God. It's not our message, or it's not our interpretation of his message, but it's a message of God and his interpretation. So Peter talks about in his epistle, no private interpretation. Do you guys remember that? No private interpretation. So in our text today, I want to keep it in context. Jeremiah's message is to the exiles that have gone into captivity in Babylon. It was King Jeconiah, the elders, and all the officials who have departed Jerusalem for the next 70 years, the captivity into Babylon. Generally, the message is about getting comfortable in Babylon, the whole message. You might as well settle down. You're going to be there for 70 years. So get comfortable in Babylon, praying for the safekeeping of the city for their own sake, but also about an opportunity to turn their lives around and seek God with their whole heart. Now remember, they're being punished. They're being judged because of their idolatry and they're drifting away from God. And Jeremiah, I always looked at Jeremiah as being a tough ministry. Didn't have many converts. They actually punished him and they threw him in a miry pit. They threw him in jail. I mean, his message was from God, but it was not a fruitful ministry that, by our standards. You know, we look at the Billy Graham ministries and you see thousands of people come to the Lord and real fruitful and good things. But Jeremiah, it was a tough ministry. So the context of the message today is to the people that are under judgment for their past sins and their disobedience. And the message is simply that God still cares about them. God still cares about Israel. But there's a greater message here, not only did to the disobedient, but also to those that have called upon the name of the Lord. Some of the exiles that went into exile were, in fact, believers, and they loved the Lord. They were just part of the whole departure. You know, you think about Daniel as a young man was exiled into Babylon, and he became a chief administrator to Nebuchadnezzar and to the Persian kings. And later on, he even declared that, you know, the time of the 70 years was over. So it's interesting that it wasn't just the disobedient that were exiled, but to the obedient too. But the message generally, it's to both the disobedient and to the obedient. God still cares about you. He still cares about you. Maybe your relationship with the Lord is going well. I can't read everybody's thoughts and intents and any of that. And unless you tell me what's going on in your life, I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a prophet or anything like that. But occasionally you snag upon difficult times and it's a little bit confusing to where you stand with God. You guys recognize that, right? God has not changed. He has not moved. He still cares about us. But we get this sense when we go through difficult times that somehow God doesn't approve of us anymore. And, he's addressing the people there to make sure that they understand, though they're disobedient, and there is a hope in these verses, that God still cares about them. To them, the disobedient, he seems so far away. They feel distant from any relationship with God. They've seen the terror of Babylon coming down and destroying the city. You know, your difficult times are not always an indication of any kind of judgment, or in our case, chastisement. He might not be punishing you or judging you for what maybe you've walked uprightly before him. So the message is to everyone, this message that I'm going to read again through the study, the rebellious or the obedient, God still has a plan in your life. That's encouraging, isn't it? Because I don't think any one of us here today stand without drifting here and there. We all drift. We all drift in our own ways. And especially when the tough times come into our life, it colors our mind in a different way that God does not want us to think that way. He wants us to always think about that he has a plan for our life, that he always cares about us. The heart of the message today is that if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. All of us have experienced that in some way or another. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes it's really cloudy how to get to that point. And we're going to go through some of that today. But the heart of the message is if you give yourself over to the Lord, you will find him. He answers. If you seek, he will answer. If you knock, he'll open the door. All those things that Jesus said in his gospel ministry. But it's a wonderful thing to find God. It's a glorious thing to sense the presence of God in your life. I love that in my life. I look forward to that in my life, that times where, you know, maybe the world is just out of my mind completely. My troubles are out of my mind. And I just feel so at peace in the presence of God, knowing that he loves me, that he loves me. So these three verses are under the heading of the promises of God. These three simple verses, 11, 12, 13. You know, the word of God is solid and you can fully lean on it. We have gone over that and over that and over that in Hebrews, how we need to trust the word of the Lord versus our own thoughts or our own actions. So the word of God is very solid. We can fully lean on it and we can depend on it because God is dependable. He's dependable. Our title today, You Will Find Me. That's our title. And I want to look at three things in here. We're going to look at those three verses in those contexts. God's wonderful intentions in our life. God's wonderful intentions in our life. And then I just put a call upon him. Call upon him. And then the third is you will find me. You will find me. So let's look at God's wonderful intentions first. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I've got a coffee cup that says that. I pick it up in the morning, I read that. Yeah, I like that. Coffee and God, you know, you can't get it any better, especially you sit down and your fellowship with them. If you're like me, there are times in your mind where you wonder, what is God thinking about me? Now, I'm not trying to say good or bad. What is he really thinking about me? Now, if you pose that question right now, he's thinking about you. He can think about all of us at one time, by the way. He's pretty slick, you know. Thinks about all the billions of people all at one time. Amazing. I don't know how he does it. He's got time for all of us. But if you're like me, sometimes you ask that question. I've asked the question, what is God actually thinking about me? And I could be in good shape or bad shape. It doesn't matter. I could ask that question. And depending on your spiritual condition, whether you're walking in obedience or rebellion, it might shade your answer, at least your perception of what God is thinking about you. Also, depending on your spiritual situation, maybe good times or maybe difficult times might color your thoughts. They do. It's trials color your thoughts on who God is. But the wonderful thing about the Word of God it never depends on you. It never depends on you. It depends only on God. It depends only on God. When we look at verse 11, we see that God's plans for all of us are good. It sure helps if you're walking uprightly with Him. You can fully enjoy that fellowship. And it sure helps if things are going well spiritually in your circumstances to fully grasp the goodness of God, the goodness of God. But we are to believe verse 11 above our own circumstances or feelings. It's not dependent on our thoughts. It's not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on our trials. These words are always true, and they're dependable. God's intentions and plans for you are nothing but glorious. He's looking far, he doesn't have a past, present, or future. He's out of time, but He's looking at us in glory with Him forever. Those are glorious times. Streets of gold, right? A mansion that He's built for us. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. All those things, He's looking ahead. But He's also looking at that one trial you're going through right now, or the one trial you just got over right now. He's always there with us. So God's intentions and plans are nothing but glorious. When we receive that revelation that God is working toward our good, that no matter what the circumstances or situations are, it will turn out good. It will turn out good. You guys are familiar with Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God and all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to His purpose. So no matter how screwed up your life can get, and it can get pretty tangled, it's going to come out for the good. He's taken the bad and the good, and He mixes it together, and it comes out glorious. I don't know how He does it, but He does do it. It's like we're fully tucked into bed with a caring Father who has all things underneath His control. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's the way God is. He wants us to feel peace about Him. So verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. Have you ever come to the realization that God has a personal plan for you? If you are a Christian, I am sure at some point you've come across this question. What is the personal plan that God has for you? This is not about your cousins or your friends or your wife or your spouse, not about your children. This is a personal plan and calling in your life. He's got that plan for you. You might want to call it your blueprint for your life. You guys have seen the architects. They plan out a beautiful house, and they plan it on paper, and they have it all before them, and that's before the work even starts. And God has your plan, your blueprint, from before the world was created. It's amazing that He's thought all of, I can't even think that far ahead. And you know what it is? It's active every day. It's active every hour, every minute, every second. You might not see it all the time. You might not see the detail. But if you step back and look back at what God has done in your life, you understand the whole of your life has a blueprint. It has a blueprint. I always find it amazing that He works around our mistakes. It's like our mistakes become part of the plan. Not that we should go around making mistakes or sinning, but He works around your sin and your mistakes and your problems into the plan that He has for your life. And you will understand that God has you in His hands. God has you in His hands. Jesus said that no one can take you from the Father's hand. Nobody. Nobody can take. It cannot be disrupted. It cannot be hindered. And it will come to pass. So God has a plan for you, but there's more to verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I don't know if you just noticed that. Declares the Lord. That's pretty powerful. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Kind of like the old King James in this. Remember, you read back, thus, what? Thus saith the Lord. Powerful statement, powerful statement. And it's splattered on all the pages of the Bible, almost every book in the Bible, thus saith the Lord. It's a declaration that is solid. It's not a flimsy, wannabe statement. It is, thus says the Lord. Powerful. It could be easily interpreted, the eternal one who has spoken. Now, when we say that God has a plan for you, we must add that the Creator, the eternal one, the one that exists before all the creation, the one that is all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, has spoken, he has a plan for you. Right? But verse 11 has more, and I want to use the Old King James for clarity. I like the Old King James. I was raised in the Old King James originally, and I like the New King James, and we study out of the New King James, but let me read it out of the Old King James. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I don't know. I like that a little bit more. It's kind of poetic, but it's powerful. So the plans God has toward us, or the thoughts that God has toward us, are thoughts of peace and not evil. He's not thinking evil toward you. There are days when you find yourself in the situations and circumstances where you feel like God is against you. Maybe you're astray. Maybe you're sinning. Maybe something is going on in your life. You're walking contrary to God, and you think that God is against you. And everything's going kind of wacko. Everything you do buries you deeper into the hole, right? You guys been there? You think to yourself, how can God be for me if things are so messed up? We think those thoughts. But once again, we revert to the Word of God and not to our circumstances or our situation. God is for you, so who can be against you? So whatever your perception is at the moment, throw it out the window and take on the Word of God. Let me just encourage you in that, because the devil will bury you if you believe otherwise. Believe him and not yourself. Not yourself. I don't trust myself as far as I could. Whatever. I don't trust myself. I've been a Christian long enough to learn that I am the problem. I am the problem. But let the Word of God interpret and define your life and yourself. Finally, in verse 11, it says, to give you an expected end. Now, back to the New King James, it says to give you a future and a hope. It's the same thing. I don't know if you're like me, where sometimes you hit such difficult times in your life, you turn to yourself, and I've asked this question, I never thought it would turn out this way. Have you guys ever asked that question? I never, you know, you young and you get married and you have your life and you go, and all these weird things are happening in your life, and I never thought it would turn out this way. I always thought it would turn out this way. I've asked that question before. I had expected it to be different, but I can only say that during those times we are myopic, and that means you're just focused on yourself. Dark days create spiritual short-sightedness. It blocks your vision, and narrow vision, it blinds us. Do you see what the Word of God says? To give you an expected end, and to give you a future and a hope. That's pretty good stuff. That's the end of the matter. The end of the matter of your life, when you're on your deathbed and you're surrounded by your friends and your kids and you're saying goodbye, you will be able to say, this is a good ending to be with the Lord. This is a good ending. To give you a future and a hope, declares the Eternal One, the one that sits on the circle of the earth, the one whose word always gives results. His word is unmovable, and his word is, well, let me give you a little paraphrase. I took this out of verse 11. For I know the thoughts and plans that I think toward you, says the Holy One, the Creator, the All-Powerful, the Lord of all things, thoughts of peace and welfare, and not of evil, to give you an expected end that has a future and a hope. So I combined it all in together. You know, God's wonderful intentions he has toward all of us. The next verse is about calling on him. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will hear you. You know, these three verses, 11, 12, and 13, they have a common thread. Each one spells out a very specific promise. Verse 11 promises of a good life and a good end of your life. Verse 12 promises that God will listen when you call upon him. Now, verse 13 we'll get to in a minute. But they're separate promises, but each of these verses build and depend upon one another. When you believe God has a plan for you, you know that God has a good plan toward you, you will surely call upon his name. When I sense that God has, you know, when I take an inventory of my life, say back years, I can look where he's just totally intervened in all these different ways. And I take that inventory and I say, I am blessed. I am blessed by God. He's protected me in my shortcomings. He's protected me in my waywardness. But I want to call upon him. I want to say thank you. I want to fellowship with him. You know, the then in that is understanding God's goodwill towards you. It is that confident resolve, you know, that he has nothing but goodwill toward you. God desires that we call upon him. He wants us to cry out to him as a son, as a daughter, to a father. The second thing he wants is us to pray to him. You know, there's a big difference between calling out to him and praying to him. You know, calling out to him sometimes is the emergencies. You guys know what I'm talking about? The emergencies, that emergency helpline. When we hit the roadblocks, the difficult times, and the times where we can barely hang on, we call out to him. We call out to him. Like Peter, Lord, save me. He's walking on the water. Lord, save me. But prayer is a little different. It's a relationship with the Lord. I know a lot of people that call to God in their emergencies, but they never take the time to develop that prayer relationship with him. People that those, we call it what, jailhouse emergencies. But when and after the emergency, they forget about God. They forget about God. We need to understand that when we call out to him and he helps us, he saves us, that now we have this relationship where we pray to him. That's our communication between me and the Lord. That's either in a group setting is good, we pray, but a personal setting is very important. I talk to the Lord all the time during the day. Sometimes blubberish stuff come out of my head and say, oh Lord, what did I do there, you know? I talk to the Lord all the time though, and that's your relationship with the Lord. You know, to be honest with the Lord too, it's incredibly stupid of us to think that he doesn't know what's going on in your life. You know, where you can actually bring it to him and I already know that. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. So there's something about that sweet relationship with God that surpasses, I think, all pleasures to man. All pleasures to man. When I'm tuned into God and I realize he's right there, There's no greater pleasure in my life than that. That's above all things. What it is that humble, truthful interaction with our Father. That's all it is. That's all it is. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. I will hear you. The next little portion of my outline here, you will find me. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I just mentioned the promises of 11 and 12, but the promise here is you will find me. You will find me. That's a promise. The Hebrew word for find is to take hold of or take grasp of. That's what it means. Now, remember, in the context, God is speaking to the exiles in Babylon. Even though they have been taken in captivity because of their disobedience, there is still hope. There is still hope. What does it mean to seek God with your whole heart? Well, Jesus answers that in the Gospels when he says, Jesus answered him, and he says, the first of all commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You know, the word all is defined as completely, complete or completely. And I must admit, I don't always love the Lord with everything. The problem with me, it's a very hard saying because of the weakness of my flesh. It's a hard saying for me because I can't accomplish that without the Holy Spirit. His desires are that we put forth a full effort into seeking Him. There are those days that I can fully give myself over to God. You guys have experienced that. It's been easy today. I really had great fellowship with the Lord. You lay down your head on that pillow at the end of the day and you just follow that sweet sleep because you've had that relationship with Him that day. But those are not always the days. Sometimes I fall flat on my face. I do. Nevertheless, the promises of God is when we put that effort into seeking Him, we will find Him. That's a promise, when we put that effort into that. So my prayer for all of us here, give us the strength to seek you with all of everything. Give us that strength. And that absolute effort is only for our benefit. It's for our benefit. The closer we get to God, the better our lives are going to be. The more the trials come, we become like Superman. The bullets and the darts of the enemy just bounce off of us because we're fully engaged with the Lord. But the promise here is that if you will seek me, if you will put that effort, you will find me. You will find me. Now, all three verses, they're interconnected that I cannot do one without the other. If you look at them, they're kind of tiered together where they work together into bringing us finally of finding God. Finally finding God. You know, it's not lost on me. The context of these verses are a time where Israel has lost its way and God is calling them back. That's the context. And it's not lost to me that these kind of times are also the times of great opportunity in our relationship with God. You know, trouble and trials are calling out from God to His people. In other words, the trouble that we get ourselves into or the trials that God allows in our life bring about the opportunities of searching out God deeper and deeper. That's what it is. It's almost like the trials carve a portal into His presence. I don't understand all that, and you might say verses 11 and 12 and 13 are a path or a stepping stones, like stepping stones into His presence. It is often these times where the Holy Spirit works to bring about you a humble heart. You realize you cannot go into the presence of God with a proud heart. I resist the proud. I give grace to what? The humble. So it's often these times that where the Holy Spirit works in our lives, brings us sometimes down to the ground, sometimes down face on the ground. You guys been there, right? And you're humbled out by the Lord. You're humbled out by the Lord. But it provides an opportunity to call upon the Lord, and he says, you will find me. You will find me. Also, on these occasions, it's where the Holy Spirit empties hearts and to make room for a bigger portion. He wants to give us more. He wants to give us more. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The promise, as we humble our hearts toward the Lord, you will find me, says the Lord. And you know what? He will not turn us away. Jesus even spoke that again. He says, anybody that comes to me, I'm not going to turn away. I love the fact that he didn't set up a time frame on that, right? That's important. Yeah, I'm not going to turn you away. You clean up your stuff. Do you ever meet the people that you invite to the Lord and they say, well, I got to clean up my life first, you know? That's not the way the Lord works. It's like he cleans up your life and your life goes forward. That's what it is. So he will not turn you away. Jesus said that. I will not turn you away. So we've been talking about finding God, that God's wonderful intentions, the glorious intentions he has for us. You realize you guys can't even imagine what it's going to be like? I mean, the fullness of the glory of God, the fullness of being into his presence. You know, we go into his presence now and we experience that wonderful joy, that great encouragement. It's a little tiny one. When we're into his presence in the Lord in heaven, do you ever read the chapters in Revelation where they're surrounded around and they're worshiping God and you see lightning and thunder and colors and everything? And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. You will find me. God has a plan for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then he says, he will hear us. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will hear you. And then finally, you will find me. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I love that. I love those three promises. And those are to Israel, but they're to the believers. Amen? Why don't you guys stand?